This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 34, with Steph Crowder, director of member success at Fizzle.co.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is a show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. Today's hosts are Layla Ramadian and myself, JC Preston. We're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping creative entrepreneurs do passion-filled work and, more importantly, connected them with the resources and community they need to help share their message with others. This session is powered by Fizzle. I mean, of course it is. You don't think I'd showcase anyone else in this particular session, right? I mean, Steph's here. Steph will have plenty to talk about regarding Fizzle in this particular chat, but if what you're looking for in a learning community matches what she talks about, you can go get yourself enrolled at Fizzle anytime at a special introductory rate by going to newinceptions.com/fizzle. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're having an awesome and productive week. This past weekend, I helped put a race at Ball State University together with American Multisport. That race in particular is called a mini triathlon, very beginner-esque. And I think we had upwards of 300 participants in it, and the 5K that we held at the same time. I forget exactly what the number was for the 5K, but people had a fun time, even though it was in a messy, cold, chilly, rainy day, which is kind of like today, too. So if you're ever thinking about getting involved in the sport of triathlon, you might want to look for a mini near you, or you might be able to hit up American Multisport next year via the virtual race option, which we're kind of having some success with this year. Another thing that went on this past weekend that I didn't get a chance to attend, but I know several that listened to this particular show did get to go to, is Brendan Burchard's Expert Academy. And those of you who did go, you lucky dogs, you. If you don't know what Experts Academy is, it's an event that I think many people in this online business world should check out sometime. I've learned plenty of tips and tactics from Brendan over the years. In fact, Brendan himself studied online marketing for 10 years, and I'm pretty sure he's been actually teaching it for 10 years as well now. However, the entry barrier is quite high, and not everyone can afford to go, which is actually a good transition to today's guest, Steph Crowder. Steph is the director of member success at Fizzle and has been with the company for a little over a year now. Having been with the startup since graduating Notre Dame, Steph has a ton of experience to help you get your business going as well. Unlike Experts Academy, you don't have to pay a couple of $1,000 to get access to her and the staff at Fizzle. In fact, all you have to do is pay $35 a month, which if you stick with Fizzle for 3 years at full price, then you might start approaching that total that you'd have to pay to go to Experts Academy for one weekend. And the question is, which is a better value for you? A 4-day intense weekend event that might completely overload you with information you're not quite ready for? Or something that gradually eases you into getting your first business going at your own pace? I can't make that decision for you, but if I was going to say if you're a beginner online entrepreneur, I'd say that Fizzle is going to be your best bet. But don't take my word for it. Try it out yourself. Nothing to lose. Money back guarantee. Actually, it's going to be free, so don't worry about that. But check it out. And again, you can use the link newinceptions.com/fizzle to do that. So that all said, besides Fizzle, we discussed with Steph today how she got to work at Groupon when it was still a small company, why she feels that working at Fizzle is a good fit for her, how she feels about being the den mama of the community, and we also get a little into why she likes working remotely. So without further ado, let's get into this one with the one and only Steph Crowder. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. It's me, JC, and I'm here today with Alayla, and
hey.
we're chatting with someone today that I think, you know, you'll really be surprised in that it took me this long to get him on the show because, you know, I'm a huge raving fan of Fizzle, and frankly, I don't think you can go to many other resources on the web that will give you the experience that you can get by going there. Otherwise, I wouldn't promote them all the time. So today we're actually talking with Fizzle's very own Steph Crowder.
Hello.
And Steph. Hey, Steph. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, I'm glad that you actually can get here in your busy, busy schedule.
Of course.
But a little bit about Steph. Steph is the director of member success at Fizzle, the best place for training and community for creatives, freelancers, and entrepreneurs. And she has a background in sales and training. And Steph actually joined Fizzle after launching her own career coaching business for a young woman. When not helping entrepreneurs build their things, she's likely on a dance floor, drinking wine, or just spending time with her husband and dog. And actually, a little bit of news, soon to be kid in Chicago.
That's right.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how you doing? How you doing today, Steph?
Good. You guys know, as Midwesterners, at the time of this recording, it's April. It's April 7th. And at least here in Chicago, we're getting a lovely hail and snow mix. So it's not exactly spring weather just yet. But other than that, things are going great.
Yeah, we've kind of gone backward a little bit around
here.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's sad. It is sad, Panda. But so... Besides the weather, I mean, what all you've been doing a lot of stuff recently. You got Fizzle going on. You're going to be the new mom this summer. I mean, how's that all that prep work going for you?
It's going well. You know, it's funny. I for anyone who out there who's already familiar with Fizzle, and we'll talk more about what Fizzle is. I know that JC, like you mentioned, talks about Fizzle a lot. So people in your audience probably are familiar with a little bit about who we are, but. One of my teammates, Corbett Barr, he's one of the founders of Fizzle. We were just having a chat earlier today, and I was just saying, I've never experienced a deadline like this in my life where, you know, I'm going to have this baby and I'm wrapping things up professionally, as well as like the ultimate motivation to do a lot of personal projects, you know, stuff around the house that you put off, and just things that have kind of been like on the bucket list. So it's been fun. I feel energized and am just kind of working towards this huge milestone in my life. So so far so good.
Wow. Yeah, I can only imagine. Maria and I are looking to go down that path before too long. But yeah, it's something. I don't know. I think the guy's perspective is much different than the lady's perspective on the whole expecting thing. So.
It is. Although I will say my husband, John, is a wonderful man. He's very supportive and very involved. However, I think that this whole thing just hit him maybe a couple weeks ago. And like, yeah. I only have a few weeks to go. And, you know, I've been pregnant this whole time. And I don't think for a lot of guys until it's, you know, you're really visibly pregnant and the date's coming up, then they start to be like, whoa, okay, this is happening. So.
I'd love to go into more detail on that, because I mean, that's actually something that I'm actually looking and talking about a psychologist about that sort of stuff, so
well, that's exciting.
Yeah it's, you know, and it's just a completely, as you said, it's a life-changing thing. And
oh,
you know,
man, I can't I'm sure I don't even know how much my life is going to change yet, but
yeah,
very excited nevertheless.
Yeah, so going back a little bit here and back into your career a bit, you started off things at Notre Dame, and Layla and I are both going to kind of boo you right now. We're both Boilermakers.
So. I thought you might be Boilers. No.
Yeah.
That's great.
But
yeah.
What did you get your, what were your major, when, I mean, what did you go to school up there and what was your major in?
Yeah. So I went to school in Notre Dame. I actually went to high school in Atlanta. So, it was a big change for me to pick up and go to school in Notre Dame. I majored in English, and it was funny. I definitely dabbled in a lot of different things. I thought I might want to be a lawyer for a while. Then I thought maybe I'd be a doctor, and I ended up with a major in English. So it's funny. A lot of people ask me, well, what the heck do you do with that now? But it actually serves me really well in the work that I do at Fizzle as a director of member success. And in my background as well, you mentioned I've always done sales and training. A lot of it is heavy communication based. So definitely had the opportunity to learn a lot about written communication as well as just the written word and literature and speaking. So it actually, I think, served me pretty well for where I ended up career-wise.
Yeah, speaking. I mean, you really do have a nice speaking voice. I mean, very radio podcast friendly, I guess you could say.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was just thinking that too. It's like, wow, she must have a lot of practice.
I did, you know, I have a background in a lot of public speaking and being in front of groups and things like that. So it's something I enjoy for sure.
Nice. So before you got into Fizzle, you were actually working at Groupon. Was that the first job that you had out of school, or was there stuff before that? Or
yeah, it was definitely my biggest job right out of school. And what I mean by that is when I hit the job market, it was 2010. So the job market was still, I feel, recovering. It wasn't like booming for new grads, which was a surprise to me. No one actually really warned me about that. I thought, oh, I'll go to Notre Dame and I'll be able to find something great. And it was actually a challenging process, to be honest.
So you're talking what, 09, 10?
10, yep, 2010. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I actually got my entrepreneurial start right out of school. I went to work for a company for a couple of Notre Dame alums who lived in Chicago, and they built this company called Game Day Housing, which was a really interesting company, really fun, tiny, just really three people and a few interns. One of them was me. What my job was to call, like, look up houses close to football college stadiums or college football stadiums. And I would call people on the phone and say, hey, you live in Alabama and Penn State versus Alabama is in town this weekend. How would you like to leave your house and make $5,000? So it was basically like a listing site for you know, people who wanted to go to a football game and stay in a house versus a hotel. So that's kind of how I got my start in sales. And it was also my first taste of working for a smaller, very entrepreneurial company. So I did that for my first summer out of college, and I really enjoyed it. At the time, it was, like I said, it was a very small company. So there really wasn't too much opportunity to stay on full time. And that's how I ended up looking around and got my start at Groupon as a sales rep. And the way that happened was, at the time, Groupon was, this is 2010, Groupon had just started, was booming, and is headquartered in Chicago. And I was actually just a subscriber to Groupon. I just loved the deals. I loved getting the emails. And I just thought to myself, I think actually one of my friends had said, maybe you should see if you could work for Groupon. And that's exactly what I did. I just submitted an application and became a sales representative for them. So I spent 5 years at Groupon before I left in April of 2015 to join Fizzle.
So would you consider it as one of those dream type jobs, like people might consider Apple or Google? Like, when you applied to Groupon, was it like that feeling? Like, oh, I got this job.
Yes, absolutely. It was. And I don't think I could have known just how much it would feel that way until I got started. Okay. I was employee like 400 something, and Groupon very quickly grew to being 10,000 employees strong in 48 different countries. It was truly a seat on a rocket ship.
And wow.
It was such an unbelievable experience. I got some remarkable training. I was really in on the way up, which taught me so much about flexibility and going with the flow. You know, having like a set job description is not really something that I ever got used to, just because that whole like wearing of a lot of different hats is something that I got used to by working at a company that was just moving so, so quickly. So to me, it really was a dream job. And like I said, I was there for 5 years, and I truly believe, and I was quite young. You know, I was just out of college. I was 22 at the time, and I got some incredible opportunities that I just would not, I don't believe I would have gotten somewhere else. I started in as a sales rep. Then I became a sales trainer, so teaching other people how to do what I had done. And then I became a manager. And then I actually ran that department in my 20s. So, and that all happened to me in 5 years. So I just feel like I got an incredible amount of coaching, leadership. I was put in so many different types of situations. So yes, for me, it was such an amazing experience. And it definitely became one of like the prime places to work in Chicago. So I feel very grateful for that experience. And I definitely loved, I loved it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So, you know, you mentioned how, what the things you liked about there, that you were growing really fast and that you feel like it wasn't anything compared to a regular job. This was like a startup job and it was kind of, it was booming really, really fast. Now, were you actively looking somewhere else to do more than that? You know, how did, like, kind of, how did that idea of Fizzle come about? And did you ever thought about starting your own startup?
Yeah. So that's such a good question. So, I'm sure people listening are probably like, okay, well, if it was so great, then
yeah.
How did you end up launching your own business and why are you at Fizzle? For me, it was, and it kind of goes back to some of what we kicked off this conversation with, it was looking down the barrel of the rest of my life and trying to, I started to feel, it started as a very quiet voice inside me, maybe in my heart or in the back of my mind. And it was this voice that said, okay, this is working fine for right now, but like, where is this going for me? You know, how is this going to fulfill me personally when I have these dreams of having a family life? And, you know, I got married somewhere in those 5 years, I got married and my husband and I definitely dreamt of having a family. And I was lucky enough at Groupon. I know that this isn't the case for every young woman out there, but I actually had wonderful female mentors who were in positions that were higher than me. And I looked up to them tremendously, but I noticed something. I noticed that the women in the highest positions were doing one of two things. One, they were going into the office from, you know, 8 to 6 or 8 to 7, depending on what was going on. And their husbands were at home with the kids, or they were, you know, they decided to have kids. And then they said, you know, I'm going to take a break from professional life. And I looked at those two options and neither of them really felt like me. So I was sort of like, well, okay, well, what am I going to do? You know, because it didn't really feel like there was like a middle ground that would allow me to have super fulfilling work and also be the kind of parent that I dream of being. So that voice inside just kind of got louder and louder. And at the same time, I started listening to people like Pat Flynn is a great example of someone who I look up to as a parent, as a family person. And he would talk so often about his why, which was being able to walk his kids to school and being there to pick them up from school and still have work that was changing people's lives. And I heard that. I would be driving in my car going to Groupon every day. And I thought, man, I've got to figure out how I can have that. So that's really where it all started for me. And that got me thinking, okay, if, you know, and Pat would have these great people on his show who had launched these businesses on the internet. And I would think, gosh, if those people can do it, there's no reason that I can't do it too. So that's really where I kind of caught the bug is hearing stories of other people who had figured out how to have work that was very fulfilling and exciting and also have the kind of family life and the, just the kind of lifestyle that they wanted to have.
I can totally relate to you on that. And that's kind of what you're saying, like that bug group grew. And personally, for me, I actually had to quit my job because the bug was so apparent.
Right.
And it was kind of like listening to those entrepreneurs. I didn't have a Pat Flynn or anybody else, but it was through my my side business that I'm working to grow is what really got that bug. And it's, they say, listen to that little voice inside of you. And it's really true.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too. I often joke that once I saw it, once I realized that people were doing this, it kind of felt like waking up in the Matrix. You know, like once you realize that you're in it, you can't go back. So once I knew that people were out there doing this, I couldn't shake it. I couldn't, you know, I was blind to it before. I didn't know that there was anything besides the, you know, corporate kind of go in at 8 and come home at 6. And when I realized that that there was this like other option, I just couldn't get it out of my mind. I really couldn't. So I got pretty hooked on the idea of having, I guess you could say, the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
That's funny that you can bring a lot of that up. Just last night, have you seen The Intern yet?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Robert De Niro.
That's right.
You have to see that movie.
and is very entrepreneurial friendly.
Okay.
But it brings up a really interesting point that you were talking about, and the fact that you have stay-at-home dads now, and you were talking about that. And, you know, my wife, Maria, you know, she works at Eli Lilly, and, you know, here I am being trying to be Mr. Pat Flynn, right, as most people would think I am. And they don't even know who that is, but yet I'm the guy that's trying to stay at home and do something. And people, it's over so many other people's mind. If they don't know about this world, you know, podcasting and just information marketing and online business and all that sort of stuff, they're just clueless. And
they really are. And, you know, it's funny because I'm sure it just makes me laugh that you say that, because I've gotten the same thing, but for different reasons as a woman. I've had people in my extended family say to me, oh, I think it's so great that you've quit your job to become a stay-at-home mom. And it's like,
not quite.
Well, yeah. And, you know, and by the way, I have such tremendous respect for stay-at-home moms. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. I actually don't think I'm patient nor strong enough to do it.
Right,
so I actually think that's the hardest job in the world. But you're right. People don't really, I mean, I think I still have a lot of friends who are like, what do you do? You know, so people don't get it. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and what's interesting is that the intern is actually, his character, and I can't think of his name in the movie, but he actually is, like you did with Groupon, he is a senior intern, meaning old people intern.
Right.
At a 2-year-old startup that went from 25 employees the first year to like over 200 the second year, which I don't know if it's possible. I mean, I haven't heard success stories like that much, but anyway, the thing is that she's having to deal, the CEO of that company is having to deal with crazy growth, and her husband is the stay-at-home husband, and she is the one that gets the intern, and he really, you know, the movie is based around how he's able to help her deal with a lot of the business sort of stuff and make it all better. So,
oh man, you're right. I do have to see that movie. That's I could definitely resonate with a lot of that.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool one, and I'm glad. I mean, it was definitely worth staying up until 12:30 last night for.
Where is it? Where can you find it? Is it actually on the theaters?
No, it should be coming into Netflix before too long.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's a good one for sure. So, we were talking about getting involved with Fizzle, and, you know, it's actually been a year. I got started in Fizzle last March, and then you became the community sponsor, quote unquote, what, a month or two after that? In May, was it?
Pretty much. I started April 27th, to be precise. So, yes, end of April.
Well, happy anniversary coming up.
Thanks. Cool. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Wow. Time flies. And in fact, I remember Barrett actually posting for that myself. And, you know, I'd just been brand new to the community. So I was like, I don't think I want to apply. But I'm glad someone like with your caliber was able to get that position. So like a lot of us, you learned about the position just through Fizzle?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And how did you see yourself in that role? Because, again, you were thinking about starting your own business, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't apply, is because I was like, well, I've been with other startups, I don't want to have that other thing going on to take me away from what I feel that I need to be doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was in the community like you, JC. I was a member myself. I guess I skipped this part in my origin story, but towards the end, I guess when I was talking about how I started to get this bug or this itch to have this entrepreneurial lifestyle, work from anywhere, meaningful work, I started to think about what am I good at? You know, what I know people always say, think about what people always come to you for, like what sort of your I always think of it as like a free space. You know, if you're playing bingo and you have that one free space in the center of the board where you just get a free space because it's like easy, it comes naturally to you. Mm-hmm. My free space was always in like career coaching, career advice. People were always coming to me wanting to get coffee, wanting to practice interviewing, things like that. And because like you said at the beginning of this show, speaking and communicating is just something that comes naturally to me. Right. So that got me thinking, and I'm also really passionate about mentoring people, but particularly young women. So that's when I got started with my career coaching business, which was called Miss Corner Office. Mm. And I love it.
I thought I saw you on Skype, and I wasn't like, which one's your...
I know.
Yeah, that's the old one.
But I started coaching women, and I found out about Fizzle because Corbett was on another podcast that I love, The Lively Show with Jess Lively. And I resonated with his story. His story is actually quite similar to mine in how he has background in like venture-backed startups. And he, his, like, for me, when I speak about family, for him, that was about being able to travel to Mexico with his wife and and have that kind of lifestyle. So he's talking about Fizzle, which is this community of training. And, you know, it's for people who want the same things I wanted. I thought, man, this is so cool. I have to join. So I joined as a member, and I was getting a lot out of the community, and just kind of getting my feet wet, using it to grow my little business that I was doing in the margins of my day when I was working full time at Groupon. So when the position became available, it was just posted on the Fizzle blog, which is called The Sparkline. And I decided to throw my hat in the ring, which was kind of crazy because at the time it was a part-time member success specialist. I was frankly very overqualified. And I can't explain, you know, what made me do that other than the fact that I just felt a real connection to these three guys, Barrett, Corbett, and Chase, who I'd been listening to on their podcast, following along in Fizzle. And I just kind of got the sense, you know, if I could get far enough in the process where I could have a conversation with these people, I just want to see where it goes. I want to see if there's opportunity for me to get yet another seat on another rocket ship like I did at Groupon and maybe be part of something that I can start to build again, because I loved what I did at Groupon, helping to build that company, you know, to such scale. But I was kind of having the itch to do that again. So I sort of have this background of being on teams and being, you know, I ran a department at Groupon, so I have the leadership experience and I have the entrepreneurial kind of bug. So to me,
you're kind of an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I would say so.
Entrepreneurship.
Okay. That's right. Okay. Exactly. I thought that might be a way for me to fuse both of my skill sets and both my interests. And it turns out I was right.
Okay. Now it makes okay. Now
I took a course on entrepreneurship or social entrepreneurship with the focus on entrepreneurship at Portland State. And it was so cool. And sometimes I say it's harder to be an entrepreneur than an entrepreneur because you're changing something that's already existing.
Yeah, it's challenging for a few different reasons. I mean, I think as an entrepreneur, you have the struggles of working alone, not knowing what you're doing, feeling isolated. But as an entrepreneur, you have all kinds of other challenges, like working on a team, having to cooperate with others, having to collaborate with others. So just kind of different, you know, different challenges for the different environments.
Perfect. Awesome. So for our listeners listening today, can you share with us a little bit on what Fizzle is and how it can benefit them?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be happy to. So Fizzle is, like JC shared at the beginning of this episode and on other episodes I know as well, Fizzle really is the destination online for entrepreneurs, creatives, and freelancers. It truly is a mix between training. So we have hours and hours of training videos on everything from choosing a topic. So if you're at the very beginning of this, you're like the Steph Crowder who was sitting in the car listening to Pat Flynn being like, I want to do something, but I don't know what it is. You can be that early in your journey and start with Fizzle and learn how to choose a topic, learn how to define your audience. And so we have people who join us at that stage all the way up to the end of what we call our small business roadmap, where you're scaling a business and you are growing and you're already making your minimum viable income, which means you are supporting yourself with your business. So we have this roadmap is really the backbone of our training, where we take people from, it's a kind of like a virtual one-on-one coach, I would say. It takes you from that very beginning all the way to, you know, creating your first product, building your audience, reaching that number, ramen profitable, minimum viable income that you need in order to support yourself and beyond. So we have a lot of training to go along with all of those stages of business. And then we also have this vibrant community. We have about 2,000 members who are in our forums, and they're constantly answering each other's questions. The Fizzle team is in the forums chiming in as well. And on top of that, we actually offer group coaching every week with the Fizzle team, where as you're part of your membership, you can come and tell us what's going on in your business and basically get sort of like a free mastermind strategy session with a small group inside the community. So that's kind of what we do in a nutshell. I just really like to think of it as this really nice marriage between training for entrepreneurs as well as community, because we very much believe, and it's been my experience too, that this entrepreneurship thing is really hard, even for the strongest of people and the most resilient. It does get isolating. There are moments where you'll want to quit. And sometimes the difference between quitting and doing the very next step is having people to cheer you on. So we really believe in that.
It's really, really good. I mean, through the, you know, having quit my job and going from a high salary to basically nothing, it is so important to have that support. Yes. And to have a go-to place and just doing your personal development every day and just keep going. That's what I tell myself and I tell my girls to keep going. Because that's the nice thing about being in a corporate is that you're in this little nest, but when you realize that you need to get out of the nest, you have to create your own nest. And that can be extremely overwhelming for some people if they don't have that support to build your foundation. So
for sure. And like JC was saying too, you know, a few people understand this like if you don't have the entrepreneurial bug, then you don't get it. You know, not everybody out there wants to be an entrepreneur. I'm married to someone who is a very like smooth and steady kind of guy. He doesn't have much interest in being an entrepreneur, and that's totally fine. He thinks I'm crazy. And a lot of people have family members, spouses, friends that feel the same way. So it can be very tempting when you feel like an island to just kind of chuck the whole thing and be like, you know what? What was I even thinking? Like, I'm just going to go back to this day job or whatever I was doing before. So it really can be the difference between feeling understood and feeling totally alone.
Yeah, well, and it's amazing that there's a thought. When I was back in my MLM days, there was one thing that always kind of kept me going, and I still use that, this phrase, is that when you know that something exists, how can you spend the rest of your life, your career, lying to yourself, more or less, that it doesn't? Now, especially if you do have that entrepreneurial bug in you, and it's like, how can you ever go back? And I don't personally ever see myself, you know, as Michael O'Neill says, I'm happily unemployable.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is that question in the back of your head that if you ignore that desire, you're always, and this is ultimately what made me try the Fizzle thing, even though it was a bit of a risk, is I got the sense that I would always wonder, what if, you know, what if this had really worked out? What if this was like my life's work? And, you know, for me, I just had to figure that out. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yep. Yeah. And it's so true, because like once you work on something entrepreneurial at work, it doesn't go away. For some people, it doesn't go away. And for me, that's how it grew for me, is when I was given an opportunity to do entrepreneurship at my job. And that's where I started to say, well, why don't I do this on my own and get, you know, call it my own? So moving forward, so what do you think about the position that you have already? You know, you're called the den mother of all Fizzlers. Should you explain that a little bit?
Yeah.
I actually had to look up that word. I was like, what is den mother?
I said this on the Fizzle show on our podcast recently, and it was a nickname that was, I think, very lovingly given to me by a Fizzler. We call our members Fizzlers. And I really am like the den mama at Fizzle. And there's a few reasons for that. Number one, at least at this time, I am the women among men. There's three guys and myself. And on top of that, my job, like being the director of member success, I really am sort of the front line for all of our customers. So that means, you know, I mentioned we have about 2,000 members right now, and all of those people, it's kind of my job to just be in the mix with them and make sure people have what they need. I consider my number one mission to keep people from quitting, to keep people from deciding that they can't do this. So I'm often right in the mix, in the trenches with our Fizzlers in our forums, and answering questions, stoking conversation, observing conversation, and just kind of trying to connect people and make them feel like they're supported. So that's kind of why I'm called the den mama over at Fizzle, because I kind of just try to look out for my people, I guess.
That's really good. That's nice.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a good quality, and sometimes it's nice to mix that up in the group, you know, and kind of keeps it going. But what do you, I'm curious about this too, because, you know, I've seen other online resources on entrepreneurship that are extremely expensive. And so what do you think sets Fizzle apart from other online resources?
Yeah, I can think of a lot of different things. And, you know, I don't want to, obviously I'm biased, so anyone listening knows, you know, I, of course, I'm part of the Fizzle team, so we can call that what it is. But I'll just tell you what other people say about us, what we hear most often. People tell us that we are the most honest, authentic, and real as far as online teachers for business. That's just what people tell us. If you listen to our podcast, what you see is kind of what you get. It's actually, sometimes it rubs people the wrong way. In fact, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but we really try to take some of the, you know, sleaziness out of, unfortunately, what has crept into the internet marketing world. And there are, I'm not saying we're the only people who are doing that. There's quite a few who are trying to do it, I think, the authentic way. But people just say that about us, that they feel like we're the kind of people that you could pull up a chair and have a real conversation with. And I have to say that having been a Fizzler myself, being in the community feels that way, whether, you know, whether you've been there a little bit or for a long time. So that's one thing for sure. The other thing I think that sets us apart is, you mentioned, Layla, that there are some hefty price tags out there attached to a lot of these training programs. Fizzle is really affordable. We do have a free trial. In fact, you can, if you're interested in this, you can check out a free trial from JC, which is great. So you can go to newinceptions.com/fizzle if you'd like to try a free trial with no obligation to stay with us. In fact, you can cancel at any time and you won't get charged. That's how confident we are that you're going to like what we have to offer. But after that, if you decided to stay a member with us, it's $35 a month. And that's for all of the training I mentioned, all the videos, the whole community, the group coaching. So as far as price goes, I remember myself when I was a customer of Fizzle, I was choosing between a high-end business program, and it was $2,000. And I was deciding if I was going to do that or stay with Fizzle. And I did the math, and I realized that I could go with that, you know, $2,000 program, or I could be a Fizzler for 5 years. So,
wow.
So that's true. One thing to think about too, is a lot of people tell us that they feel like it's tremendous value for the price.
Definitely.
Good. I agree. So, especially when someone is an entrepreneur, when they have very little money, that's an affordable way to help them get started too.
Totally.
To give them that virtual mentorship as coaching.
Yeah. And the cool thing too is, again, if you want to try a free trial, newinceptions.com/fizzle, the trial, you have enough time to take a whole course with us. And we encourage people to do that. I say, you know, come on in, try a course and see if it's for you. And if it's not, then hey, you just got a free high quality course, and you got to kick the tires and see what we were about. So I encourage people to at least just check it out and see if there's something there for them.
What got me really excited about Fizzle, honestly, was when JC said it was based out of Portland. I was like, woohoo, sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I love Portland.
Portland is awesome. I really, I enjoy when I get to go out and see those three guys who live out in Portland.
Yeah.
Well, good tee up there for the next section. I like that. You know, lots of people have kind of be talking about remote teamwork here, and, you know, people have, you know, the different histories and where they're from. And you're, as we've been talking about, you're the odd person out. You're here in the Midwest. Everybody else is based in Portland now. And I got to ask you, has working remotely worked for you versus what you were doing with Groupon or going into the startup when you're just out of school? I mean, what do you prefer the most?
Yeah, it's a great question, and this is certainly a spirited debate that people have about remote work. Can it work versus, you know, being in person with a team? For me, remote work, it works really well. I prefer it, but I also have, I'm very lucky. I have a really nice mix. I do get to see my team usually about once a quarter. I will go out to Portland for the most part, although Chase just came here to Chicago to film me for as an instructor for one of our Fizzle courses, which was great. So I do get to see those guys fairly frequently. And for me, I don't know, I prefer a mix of being able to kind of go into my own little strategic hole and create and then bring it back and have conversations. I found when I worked at Groupon, like I said, I had 30 people on my team, and it was one of those, you know, hip companies. So we had the open office concept where everyone was working at, you know, tables in an open floor plan. So right. No closed doors or anything like that. And I found myself having to literally go and hide in different parts of the building if I wanted to think strategically and come up with a project. And I am a strategic thinker. Like, that's just something that I like to do, is to think about things and break them down and come up with new ideas. And just the constant barrage of noise of people always, you know, whether it was somebody always needing my help, and there was always someone I could be helping on the floor, mm-hmm. or someone just had like a funny YouTube video. It's just, it's really distracting. I'm a social person, so I don't really have the discipline to you know, be super productive in that kind of environment. So for me, the remote work is great. We use Slack. I know a lot of people out there probably are familiar with Slack. It's basically kind of like a new age chat room, I guess, where mm-hmm. we're all on Slack during the day. And some people on the team prefer to chit chat more than others. So I feel like I kind of get to be in control of how much I'm interacting. And when I need that, I can get it. And when I want to focus, I can focus. So for me, it works really well.
And another one that I personally use right now is called River. Have you heard of that one?
I've heard of it. I think I've seen it like on Twitter and stuff, but I have no experience with it. How do you like that?
It's not as clunky as Slack. It feels like it's a little bit lighter. I mean, it's interesting. For the most part, it's Windows and Mac. I mean, really, I mean, you still get the same things done on either one. So for right. the most part, you know, stick with Slack if that's what you guys are used to. But I got to ask you, I mean, how do you instill, like, you were just talking about that you guys are being very productive in that virtual environment. How do you keep that going? How do you actually, and I know that you guys had a podcast and how you do all this stuff, so I don't want you to go into too much detail. But for me, when I've tried to implement that tool, I'm lucky enough to just to get people signed on, let alone actually use it. Do you have any tips on how to get people actually stick with it?
Yeah. And just for anyone who's interested in hearing more about this topic, we did do a podcast episode on this at the Fizzle Show. So if you want to check it out, you can go to fizzleshow.co/122. It was episode 122. We talked about how to manage a remote small team business or small business team. And for us, I think it has a lot to do with systems that we use. It has to do with what we call our company operating system. So basically what that means is we have a core set of recurring events that help us kind of anticipate the next time we're going to be together. Mm-hmm. So starting really, really big and going down really fine. First of all, we have a quarterly big planning session 4 times a year. So there's 4 quarters, you know, we're about to have one here for Q2. We're having it next week, where we get together. Usually it's in person, but given my current state, this one is not in person. We usually get together in Portland, and we just spend a couple days rethinking everything about our business, just going super high level and reviewing, breaking down what went well in the previous quarter, and then setting our goals together. So we have a vision for the next 3 months at a time. So for us, 3 months at a time is working really well right now. Mm-hmm. We use Trello to manage our projects. If you've ever heard of Trello before, it's basically these different project cards. You can create these boards for different projects. And it just helps us manage everything that we got going on all in one place. So we'll decide as a group in this planning meeting what's important to us for the next 3 months. Then from there, we're also meeting on a weekly basis. We have a team meeting that we just do over Skype. We meet one-on-one, like each of us bi-weekly. So every 2 weeks we're getting together just to kind of shoot the breeze and also talk about, you know, any projects that we pair up on and do together. So those are the things that we have that are recurring. And I think that those kind of anchor us. Also, we podcast together once a week. So those are kind of like the little water cooler things that I feel like sustain, at least for me, someone, like I said, who likes a mix of solo work and social work. Mm-hmm. If I am feeling kind of like maybe a little bit isolated, I can look forward to my team meeting on Tuesdays. Or if I feel like I need to talk to somebody, I can pick up Skype and talk to Barrett or talk to Chase. So I think that having these systems in place that I can anticipate, and all of us can anticipate, we are able to touch base and stay on the same page, even though we're very much working on our own projects.
That's for the most part, you have your team meeting on Tuesday, and then you guys are recording on.
We also record on Tuesdays.
You record on Tuesdays, so that's all one block. What is your structured? I mean, Pat just recently dropped what his mystery structure of his week is, which I've been waiting for years and years. And it was on he dropped it on a master class, and he says that on Monday he's writing, on Tuesday he's preparing the podcast for Wednesday release, and then for Wednesday he's doing like social media, and then the other 2 days are like miscellaneous days. And do you have a kind of a regular ongoing weekly schedule like that, or?
I do. It's a little bit different. It's always interesting to me when people have writing days or strategy days. I don't break mine up by day. And part of that is the nature of my job in particular. Mm-hmm. Since I am the director of member success, that also means that I handle customer service. So I have things that I have to do every single day, including customer email, mm-hmm. People who need my help from everything from how do I cancel my account to how do I log in, and people who have questions. So right. I'm handling that stuff, on a regular basis. So I would say I'm structuring my day. I have to switch. At Fizzle, we call this, there's kind of two different minds. There's the CEO mode when mm-hmm. you're being really strategic and you're thinking about big projects that are going to help grow your business. So I have that type of stuff. And I try to do my CEO mode type stuff in the morning, just because I'm a morning person and I'm fresher in the morning. So if I'm, coming up with a new course, like I just wrote and filmed a course in Fizzle called Winning Insights with Customer Conversations. It's basically about how to interview people to do customer research and make sure that you have a good business idea. I would do a lot of that strategic work in the morning, because like I said, I'm just fresh. Then when I'm starting to kind of burn out a little bit, I switch over to what we call worker bee mode. So that basically means some of my more tedious, maybe less, mind intensive type work. So that would be handling our customer email, organizing the Fizzle calendar, things like that, that also fall on my plate. So for me, I just like to set up my day where I'm doing strategic work early in the day, and then I'm doing some of my more easy on the mind type stuff in the afternoon when I'm starting to kind of like need a second wind. So okay. That's kind of roughly how I set up my day.
Gotcha. Okay. And do you stay more up because they're in Portland? Do you stay on West Coast, or are you on Chicago time?
I'm pretty much on Chicago time, honestly. Okay. So I'll be, it kind of works out well, because I will be, if there's anything that needs tending to in the morning, I can catch it. So if mm-hmm. there's any problems with the site or anything like that, I'll be up in the morning. And, I keep pretty regular hours, honestly. I do sometimes skip off to go take a yoga class or go to the gym or something. But for the most part, I'm staying on pretty regular hours, partially because, this is what works for my family. My husband has a normal job, so it just kind of works to treat it like that. Otherwise, I would probably be jumping into my email every 5 seconds. So I try not to do that.
Okay. Well, I was just curious, again, the whole remote thing. And I guess the last question that I have in regards to that is, when Chase was in town, did you actually get a chance to take him over to Giordano's?
We didn't go to Giordano's, actually.
Did he get any Chicago pizza?
Did we do it? No, I don't think we did do pizza.
There's a reason to bring him back.
Yeah, exactly. He calls it, it's funny, so obviously Chicago is known for deep dish pizza. Chase calls it pizza quiche, and he was not particularly interested in pizza quiche. He's much more interested in some of the cooler foodie scenes and coffee houses and things like that. So we did that stuff instead.
Have you gone to the food carts in Portland?
I have. Gosh, so much fun.
I miss them.
Yeah.
I miss the pad thai.
So cool. Oh my gosh, I know the food in Portland's remarkable.
It is. So good. So you briefly mentioned about working from home and being in different time zones. So how are you going to fit that as you're going to become a mommy? And how do you think that will impact your lifestyle? And this is a question, honestly, for career women who are thinking about soon-to-be mothers. I mean, I just got married 9 months ago, and I'm just I'm really new in this whole entrepreneurial thing, and just JC's been a great support, and so is my other coach. And how do you see yourself continuing this path? Because I eventually want to become a mother and still do this. And, you know, and like you said, you saw those two things in the corporate world, and you don't want that. So what changes do you think that will need to be made? And also being a mommy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, it's interesting. I love the, and JC brought this up a little bit earlier. I'm really loving the direction that we're going in right now, where we seem as a society, at least in America, I can't speak, I haven't lived abroad, but at least here, we're starting to kind of challenge this mentality that, like, you know, the kids are the women's work and things like that. You know, I think that it's awesome to see that men are, you know, wanting to start lifestyle businesses because, hey, they want to be able to walk their kids to school too. So I think that this question is, it has always been relevant to women, but I'm really happy to see that it's not just about women anymore. There are plenty of guys out there who want to have meaningful work and be there for their family. So that just is so exciting to me. First, I just want to say that. So I think if there are guys who are listening who are resonating with that, then that's awesome. As far as, you know, for me, I think adjusting to this, it's just going to be like anything else. You know, I mentioned that the cool thing about being, I think it's important to find the right team for you that's going to support the lifestyle you want to have, no matter what that is. For some people, that's being a mom or a dad. And for other people, that's living in Mexico 3 months out of the year, like Corbett Barr on my team wants to do. And, you know, if you can find a business or you want to start a business that allows you to do that, then that's what I think the most important thing is. So part of it is defining your definition of success. You know, what is like the perfect lifestyle look like for you? And then how can you work towards that? For me, it's, you know, I do plan to have childcare of some kind so that I can continue to do this work. But the cool thing is I have flexible hours and I can set my day up the way that I want to because I have trust with my team. So I can be there at the times that work for me, and I can do my work at the times when I'm at my best. So that's probably how I'll set it up. I don't know for sure yet, just because this is my first time being a parent. So I'm going to take a couple months to just adjust and go on leave and things like that. And when I come back, I plan to, you know, to figure out a good rhythm for my family as well as for my team and for the work that I care so much about.
That's great.
We'll see.
Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
It's a girl.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm very excited that it's a girl.
That's exciting. Well, congratulations. And I guess the next question I have for you is, I was looking at your Twitter and I noticed that you're really amused at all the things that you're seeing and reading about parenting. And I thought that was really, really funny. I saw a quote that you said something about, imminent parenthood raises all kinds of questions for me, like, will I be a good mom? And can I bring a baby to that outdoor concert? So I just thought it was really cool. And then also just, you know, cravings and stuff, so forth. Cause I have one of my other coaches, she's due in 6 weeks. And so she was telling me how she's getting like baby fog or some mind fog.
Oh yeah. You're kind of brain fog a little bit. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the baby's sucking all that juice out of you and like just trying to get all your nutrients. I don't know what you call it, but I don't
As
know.
As a guy, I'm kind of cringing over here, but
yeah, you just get ready, JC. You're going to take the plunge yourself. You'll see.
Yeah. It's foreshadow.
Yeah.
But so do you have any advice for women who, like, basically, what advice do you have for us in women that want to be career driven? I think you explained that briefly, but could you kind of just give us what advice we as women that need to hear? Because my mom and my parents and loved ones are telling me, like, oh, when are you going to have a baby? And I want to have a career too.
Yeah, absolutely. So my advice would be, I think it's so important to not listen to anybody else, as hard as that is. I think all of us have mothers and fathers and other people in our lives who maybe have certain expectations of what they think we should do, maybe how we were raised. And I truly believe that all women and all parents, for that matter, are different. You know, I mentioned that there were these like different types of women at Groupon. There were some women who were like, you know, coming into the office and their husband was a stay-at-home dad, and they were really happy with that. And if that's you, don't feel guilty about it. If you are the type of person where you get energy going into the office and you're in a position where your partner, you know, maybe wants to be a stay-at-home dad, then that is great. And you shouldn't feel, you know, like less of a mother because of that. I absolutely commend people who want to be in the office. And I understand that that's an energetic type environment for some people. And that's important. On the flip side, there are some women who feel really strongly that mothering should be their full-time job. And that you should listen to that voice too. And finally, if you're looking for something kind of in between, my advice would be make sure, and this goes for dad, this goes the other way too. So I talk to the guys on my team about this a lot. Having open communication with your partner, because like JC was saying, sometimes our partners don't understand. I mentioned that my husband's not an entrepreneur, and he was very supportive of me launching my business and joining Fizzle, but it took a lot of conversation. It took a lot of sitting down and figuring out what is our minimum viable income as a household? What do we need to make in order to maintain our lifestyle? So I think it's about communication. I think it's about understanding your own personal goals and not really comparing yourself, because it's so easy, I think, as women to compare ourselves to other types of moms and other career people. And there's all these Instagram accounts and everything is like Instagram perfect these days. And sometimes you just got to shut that stuff off and ask yourself, what do I really want my life to look like? And then just take small and steady steps towards making that happen. And I know that might not be super specific advice, but I truly think it depends on the person and on the individual situation to just kind of follow that intuition and then make a plan.
Got it. Good. Very great. Very great advice. Thank you so much, Steph, for that.
Absolutely.
So now we're kind of going close to the end, and I have some rapid fire questions for you.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. So what are the three things you would want people to remember you by after hearing you on the show today?
Gosh, three things. Great question. First, I would say if anything I said about Fizzle resonates with you, please go to newinceptions.com/Fizzle. I really feel strongly that you will love to check it out. Even if you're just a little bit curious, come give it a try. That's the first thing I would say. The second thing is, if you are the type of person who is interested in entrepreneurship, but you also get energy from being on a team, consider entrepreneurship. We've talked about this a little bit on our podcast. Sometimes getting yourself onto a small team is a great way to have the best of both worlds. So that would be the second thing. And then the last thing I would say, and this is something that I'm just so passionate about, it's what we just were talking about, but whether you want to be a parent or you want to travel the world or you want to live in a certain kind of city with a certain type of house, figure out what your own definition of success is. I think that in our society, we are always told that, you know, it starts in school and we have grades and we're told that getting an A is success. We're told that when we grow up, you know, having a job that pays X amount with these cool benefits and like the special, you know, kitchen that makes free meals and whatever is the kind of coveted definition of success. I say figure out what success means to you and go after that one thing at a time. Those are kind of my top three.
Gotcha. So name us three favorite teachers/experts or influencers in your life.
Oh my gosh.
Who are your three favorite teachers, experts, or influencers?
Okay. One comes to mind. I hope, I don't know how people will receive this. I love Oprah. I'm a big Oprah fan. I grew up with my mom having Oprah on the TV all the time. I am very inspired by her message, by her energy. So she's definitely someone that I would want to have coffee with or sit down with. That'd be one.
You're in Chicago, so
I know I gotta make it happen.
Yeah.
Next time you're in Portland, see if you can possibly get some time with Brendan. If you can.
Brendan. Who's Bouchard. Brendan? Oh, yeah.
He's in Portland and he's, you know, so that might be maybe a hookup. I don't know, but he was greatly inspired by Oprah and, you know, he's a little bit closer to that level. So maybe you can get some time with him. Just thought.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great thought. Maybe I'll
get Oprah on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. How's that for a goal? Let's see, other experts. I already mentioned one of my very favorite podcasts is the Lively Show from Jess Lively. That's probably the podcast I listen to most often. I just really look up to her as an influencer and as someone who she does a lot of work around values and intention. And some of the things that she has to say are really, really helped me when I was trying to decide like what I really wanted to do outside of just what like the ego voice in my mind was telling me. So she's another person that that has really been an influence on me. And then, I mean, seriously, not to be cheesy, but honestly, the three guys that I work with, Barrett, Corbett, and Chase, have been wonderful mentors, influencers, partners, friends. I mean, these are people who are some of the best voices in business, and getting to work with them every single day is absolutely a privilege. So I guess that's more than three technically, but those those are my people.
I guess I'm somewhat envious and proud that you're actually have that opportunity, because you know, you can say that you go to college with a lot of people that have, you know, goals and aspirations to do things, and life happens, and then you might just be the one that kind of got through and it's like, where's all my peers? So I'm glad that you had that opportunity.
Yeah. I love it. I feel very lucky.
Next question. So what does success mean to you, and how do you achieve success?
Yeah. So I love this topic. I probably could do a whole, I've already mentioned it a lot. I could probably do a whole podcast on it. Success to me means feeling at peace, honestly, in the moment. And I don't mean to sound like, you know, Zen master yoga instructor or something, but I really do mean that in the most sincere way. I think that when things are flowing and when you don't feel that tension of that voice that's telling you what you should do, hearing words like should, hearing words like can't, you know, that sort of tension that's always telling you to be more, to work harder, to hustle faster, whatever. For me, success feels like being at peace, being challenged, but also feeling like you're kind of just contributing in a way that's meaningful, but also that you are able to be your best self. I think it was Bill Murray who said that we are all do our best work when we're relaxed. And I completely think that's true. I think that when we're not putting so much pressure on ourselves, when we aren't seeking validation from other people, we're able to, I don't know, I guess we're just able to be who we really are and contribute in a way that's authentic.
That's so true. When you're not under that kind of pressure, you can be more of yourself, and very true. So you would say Bill Murray is the kind of person that comes to mind when you think of success.
I think so. I mean, if you look at, you know, he's just someone who's authentically himself, and what a joy to the world that he has been himself. You know, it's like, if he had tried to be somebody else, that would have been pretty much a bummer, because I don't know that we'd have all the awesome work that Bill Murray has done. So, yeah, I think so.
Cool. All right. Cool. So way to officially wrap it up is that we always ask some action steps, and where can people go, or what can they do in order to do more passion filled work?
So at the risk of being too repetitive, I think, you know, checking out Fizzle would be a great step. You know, it's just a cool place. Like if the story that I've told has resonated with you, I think that you'll find I'm just one of many people who has this kind of origin story, which is so great and so comforting to know that you're not as alone as you think you are. So I would say, you know, as far as action steps go, I think it's all about defining that success that we talked about. It's about figuring out, you know, this is absolutely your life. And sometimes it feels we feel so limited by our circumstances. You know, you think I have this mortgage, I have this job, I can only work within the confines of what I've been given. It's not true. And it's a little scary to know that that's the case. But really, if you got to envision like your biggest, boldest life, you know, start to think about what that would look like and break it down from there. Fizzle is a place that can help you do it if it's entrepreneurship that feels like a good fit for you. And beyond that, it's just a bunch of cool people who are hanging out and talking about, you know, business stuff. So that's where I would go. That's where I did go, you know, to get the help that I needed. So I know it's been helpful for you, JC, as well as a lot of other people too.
For sure. For sure. Outside of Fizzle, is there anywhere that anybody can connect with you?
Yeah, people can connect with me on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm at @StephCrowder_. I would love to hear if you liked this episode or liked hearing from me. Those are the places that I hang out the most.
All right, cool. Well, definitely appreciate you having on, and look forward to a lot of Fizzle's success. It looks like there's a lot of different things that are coming down the pipeline, including an improvement on the roadmap. So we're going to be more on that too. So.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed that chat with Steph. Feel free to check her out online outside of Fizzle via Twitter and Instagram. As usual, I'll have those links in the show notes, and you can find that and other information at newinceptions.com/session34. If you're wondering how to get an online business started and want to learn at a pace that you can handle and a price you can afford, I definitely check out what they do on over there at Fizzle. Today's show note extras include some videos from the crew at Fizzle, so you can get an idea of what to expect when you get over there. The first video is a recent video by the personality, I don't know if that's the best way to describe him, maybe multiple personalities of the team, Chase Reeves. In this particular video, he improves on the best advice ever for starting a business. Next up, Chase does a preview of the course that Steph was talking about in which he visited her in Chicago to film. You know, I've had the chance to view it, and I gotta say that it's a pretty good course that I think will help you develop better products that, you know, your customers might actually want, so that's a good thing. The next video I have lined up is a mini documentary that Chase made of the group getting together at World Domination Summit in 2015. I think it gives you a little insight of what the group is like as a whole, and maybe a little bit of what you can experience if you ever make it to WDS in the future out there in Portland. And finally, Steph had mentioned that one of her major influences early on was Jess Lively. In this video, Barrett introduces a part of Jess's founder story. This particular clip, and she talks about her three-tier system for living your values. However, the entire interview itself is just shy of 80 minutes long and is all about knowing what you're going for in your long-term game. You know, she knew that she wanted to be like Martha Stewart, and I think I've heard her say that she wanted to also emulate Oprah a bit. And according to a recent podcast with Pat Flynn, she's pretty much on that trajectory. Oh, and of course, Pat has his story in there as well, along with Amy Porterfield, John Lee Dumas, and Jordan Harbinger, just to name a few. So again, thank you guys so much for your time today. I really, really appreciate it. Reviews are always welcomed on iTunes, and if you have a couple minutes, please go on over there and leave us one. If you've heard the podcast a couple of times and haven't done that, I'd really appreciate if you specifically went on over there and let us know why you've stuck around. You know, it's people like you that are who I'm trying to help get motivated to do work that you love, and I can't help you more if I don't know what you like and what you want to know more about. Next week on the show, Ginger Kern joins me, and we have a really, really interesting chat with Daniel Postma. For someone that is young as he is, he's had a ton of mentorship in his life, and you can see how much it's all paid off for him. I mean, he's only 20, but he sounds like he's about to hit 30, 35. I mean, it's crazy. And also, if you're familiar with the foundation, you'll know Daniel as the guy who had the opportunity to shadow Dane Maxwell for a month. And I can only imagine how much he learned from that experience. On top of that, in the chat, we also discuss his life as a homeschooled student, his experiences being mentored, as well as his interest in becoming a medical massage therapist, which is actually what he's doing right now, which is pretty cool if you understand the story of why he's actually doing that. So that's pretty much it for this session. Again, be sure to check out the show notes at newinceptions.com/session34. I look forward to spending some time with you again in the next episode of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Until then, keep doing the work that you're meant to do. Dig in, have fun, and take care.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.